We are told that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. When you realize, too, that God is all, you know that all must be light, without darkness. And ultimately, as this realization deepens and takes over and brings you your illumination, you will know that was the discovery that behind the world of good and evil, here on this earth is another universe. And in your new consciousness, as the discovery of the Master becomes your discovery, you will see the world of evil dissolve like sugar spun candy before your eyes. And you will behold the divine creation as it ever has been standing before you. So it was that John was lifted into that state of awareness that could now help us to understand the real teaching of the Christ brought to earth, to lift all the veils, to behold Him as He is. And John was lifted into the Spirit. Now in his first vision we behold, he sees an angel. And I saw in the right hand of Him that sat on the throne a book, written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. We have the Father, the throne of the Father, someone seated in the throne, and in his right hand a book. And each of us is being told, "Can you open that book?" And the angel says, "No, none on earth are worthy." The consciousness that is God contains its own infinite will, which is the throne of God. And seated on that throne, on the infinite will of God, is the power of that will. And the right hand of that power is the perfection of that power. And in the perfection of that power is a book, the book of life, the book of reality, the book of truth. And we are not worthy to open the book of truth. Why? That is the question we are to find out today. That is the question we have been asking ourselves all of our lives. Why can I not live in the kingdom of God on earth? Why can I not move and have my being in reality? If there is no good and evil, why do I find myself confronted with the opposites? Why am I unworthy to open the book of truth, to live in truth, to experience all that the perfection of His truth signifies? And John says there was none worthy to open it. And so I wept. I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. Spiritually, when you weep, you are aligning yourself with the will of God. You are dying to your self-will. That is your weeping. And John was now aligning himself with the will of the Father. He was crucifying the will of John, and that is his weeping. He was undoing in his own consciousness all of the acts of disobedience to the will of God that had been part of his human life. The weeping is the undoing of humanhood. The resignation, the redemption, the reconciliation to the will of the Father. And John, learning that no man could open the book of life, of truth, of reality, until he had become one with the will of the Father, was now going through that process of being one with that will, and it is called weeping. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. So it is with us. There is a time when we, through our reconciliation with the will of the Father, our meekness and receptivity to that will and that will alone, our undoing of all the deeds of disobedience of the past, reach a point where the elder within us says, weep not. You have undone the past. You are one with the will of the Father. You are white as snow. Weep not. Behold, one is about to undo the seven seals. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. And this is emphasizing the humanhood of the one called Jesus. From the tribe of Judah, the root of David. This is telling the human race that it was done by another human being, and so can you. And this human being was Christed and became Jesus, who manifested the Christ, and thus was called Jesus Christ, as you will be called when you manifest the Christ. And now the one who will undo the seals is not Jesus, but the Christ of Jesus, the Master within. The Master within is going to undo the seven barriers to the throne of God, which each of us has been seeking. This, incidentally, is the resurrection of John, his first resurrection. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth unto all the earth. Each of us in our humanhood slay the lamb. The rejection of Christ is a slaying of the lamb. The unawareness of Christ within, the living spirit of God, the unawareness of identity, the unawareness of the spiritual universe. All this is the slaying of the lamb, which each of us does every day. The lamb is alive in us, but we are dead to the lamb. It is not alive in our consciousness. Christ alive in us, but we not alive to Christ, slay the Lamb. But now John beholds the Lamb as it had been slain. That very selfsame Christ that we have all slain as humans is alive in John, and not slain, but living, rising through his consciousness to open the seals. Christ in John is opening the seven seals, as Christ in us will open the seven seals. The Lamb will then become alive in us, and it will proclaim, I am the resurrection. I am he who was slain but now lives forever. I am he in the midst of you, whom at first you did not acknowledge, but now that you are acknowledging my presence, my power, my will, my perfection, now that you are single-pointed, living, hid in Christ, the Christ within you opens the seven floodgates to the kingdom of heaven on earth. This is the process in John called first resurrection, the entrance to the fourth heaven, or the fourth dimension of consciousness, which we call illumination. In each of us, then, is the Christ awaiting our recognition. Not our lip service, but our receptivity and obedience. Our ability to follow in the footsteps of the Christ, the inner shepherd, who restoreth our soul. This turning within is the way, and now for John it is proving to be the only way, showing that the Christ message on earth is only received by one who turns his complete life over to I, the Christ, the Father within, who is mighty, who is greater than he that walks the earth, who performeth all things, who moves the mountains, who parts the Red Sea, who rains hidden manna from the sky. I, Christ, within you, I am ever ready to open the seven barriers and take you into the kingdom of heaven on earth. Deny thyself, pick up thy cross, cross out that which is not of God, and follow me. And John is doing exactly that. His weeping is finished. He has been told no longer to undo. He has undone all of the human selfhood of his past. He is now about to be made a child of the resurrection. And in the midst of the elders stood this Lamb as it had been slain, having seven eyes, seven horns, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth unto all the earth. The seven horns, then, represent perfect strength, omnipotence. The seven eyes represent omniscience. The seven always the completion. Only in Christ is there omnipotence and omniscience. We are taken out of the finite into omnipotence, the seven horns, into omniscience, the seven eyes, only when we are in the state of Christhood, accepted, spiritual identity, undivided. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Now this is how it comes to John. It came to Jesus that I am the Father of one. And John sees that oneness as God the Father And I, John, out here being united in that oneness by the Christ within. John is in the Christ is in the Father. I and the Father are one. And that is the enactment of Christ within, opening the book of truth so that the will, perfection, and power and love of the Father can flow into you through the Christ of your being. Christ in you receives the allness of the Father. You receiving and acknowledging Christ in you as your identity, receive the allness of the Father and are brought under the government of God. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. As Christ in you is realized, every facet of your being is brought into alignment. And this is the elders, saints falling down. There is a oneness, a one mind, a one substance, a one being. The complete chain of command is made into a oneness. And in this sonship or conscious union with the Father, every facet of your being is under the will and perfection and power of the Infinite Spirit. And now your harp and your vials with golden odors, all of this represents that you are now an instrument for the infinite. You have been one with the Father. You have taken the book of life from the right hand of him who sits upon the throne in the consciousness of God. And the harps are the wishes. And the vials with odors are the deeds that we now perform. Divine will and divine deeds are performed. You glorify the Father. This is the new man, the new consciousness, the ideal Christ man walking the earth, which is the destiny of every man. For I go unto my Father and to your Father. I, the Christ of your being. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. This new song has been called the new song of the resurrection. This is the new consciousness which no longer is subject to the mind of the world. It doesn't sing the song that the world sings of good and evil. It sings the song of truth, that God is all, that Spirit is all, that in him is light and no darkness at all. And the blood that you now receive is no longer an imitation of blood. It is the real blood. It is divine blood. The will of God is divine blood. And as the will of the Father pours through you, divine blood pours through you. You can't accomplish this with ritual, with dogma, with lip service. You can go through all the motions. But this is the only baptism which brings you the true divine blood. We were told that you must be reborn of the water and of the Spirit. The water is the symbol of purification. Purification only comes through the will of the Father in you. The baptism of the will of the Father in you is being born of the water. John baptized as a symbol that we must be born of the water. We must be purified by receiving divine blood. And through Christ in you, the will of the Father flows, purifying your complete sense of humanhood, purifying the belief in mortality. All kindreds and nations, whatever is not of the Father is called kindreds and nations. And so you take dominion over all things that were not of the Father through the will of the Father flowing through the acknowledged Christ of your being. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. As you are able to receive the will of the Father through Christ in you, you become a king on the earth, a priest of God. You're now in the kingdom of God, working as a king in the kingdom. And by the will of the Father flowing through you in direct inspiration, you are a priest of God, receiving directly from the Father within that truth which you can shower forth as a blessing to those around you. Now you must see the distinction being put here before us between the meaning of a priest of God who has received the Christ within and is thus in conscious union with the Father, and our human imitation, which has not received the will of the Father, direct inspiration from the Father. And all things on the earth are in proportion to whether or not we have received direct inner ordination or are merely playing lip service by reading the words of the Bible. We are told now that our way to the book of life, to reality, is not by the words we recite or read or hear out there. There is one single, narrow, perfect way, and that alone is the way. The Lamb in you must move through your consciousness and take the book out of the hand of the Father. There's no other way. And then you become a king on the earth, a priest of God. And you don't have to wear a special hat or garment to do it. You don't have to belong to any holy order. You are anointed from within. In this way, you open the book of truth into your first resurrection. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Now your voice is joined with those of your own household to become one voice, the living voice of the Father itself. All are joined into one Son in the realization of joint heirs in Christ. you discover you never were alone. There's no such thing. You discover the identity of the one self, that one infinite self in whom all are one. This is the activity toward which we are all quickly moving now, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Now there are the seven fruits of the Spirit. But who receives them? Who is worthy? Worthy is the Lamb. We were looking for one on this earth who was worthy to open the book of truth, but none was worthy, only the Lamb. And only the Lamb receives the fruits of the Spirit. Where does that leave us? We must be alive in the consciousness of Christ. We must be in Christ consciousness. For Christ consciousness is the Lamb. And only Christ consciousness is worthy to receive power. Put the word Spirit before each of these fruits, to receive spiritual power, spiritual riches, spiritual wisdom, spiritual strength, spiritual honor, spiritual glory, spiritual blessing. In spiritual identity, you receive the full seven spirits of the Father. You are honored and glorified in Christ. Every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them heard, are saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne." And remember, him that sitteth upon the throne is the omnipotent power of the will of the Father. And when you honor the omnipotent power of the will of the Father, you are accepting that omnipotence of the Father everywhere assures that him in whom there is light and nothing else is so omnipotent that darkness can never be. We are learning to look at the appearances of the world, but to honor him that sitteth upon the throne. To honor the invisible Christ, the light in whom there is no darkness, as the all-presence of the Father on earth. To pay honor and tribute to the Christ is to accept that God is all, that God is light, and therefore Christ, being the identity of man, the divine image and likeness, the light of the Father, that spiritual identity is my identity. I am that light. The change of consciousness is to know that there is no material self. Christ is not material being. The honoring of the Christ is that great capacity to rise out of the tomb of personal self. The glimpse of Christ in you, that first glorious awakening, leaves you with that great thrilling idea that now we shall reign. The world becomes brighter. Hope rises within. We know that all the darkness we have encountered has been nothing but a mirage of the senses. We begin to sense possibilities undreamed of by the human mind. The first resurrection for John had happened. And the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. You've seen a preview of yourself. And as this dawns, your vision, the vision of John, continues, and now the first seal has been opened, partially, by showing us the full capacities that await us. The seven spirits, spiritual wisdom, spiritual riches, spiritual honor and glory, spiritual blessing, the full spectrum of divinity. And that brings us to the most perplexing part of the vision, the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Now you may say, why do I have to listen to a story about four horsemen way back there that entered into the mind of a man as he had a vision? And you may have read many of the versions of it that have appeared throughout Scripture, throughout the interpretations of Scripture by many learned theologians. Now we've had these four horsemen in the Bible here ever since the book of John. It finally got into print along about the 4th or 5th century. It was accepted in the Bible. And yet, in spite of the four horsemen, in spite of all the words that have been written about them, all you have to do is open your eyes and look out into the world, and you can see the four horsemen haven't done us any good. But they were supposed to. They were here for a purpose. They are the vision of Christ in John, is the word of God mocked. Or perhaps the four horsemen have been like the tree out in the yard, barren all winter, and then suddenly in bloom. We are in the age when the four horsemen are about to bloom, and we can understand their power within us, their meaning. We see them now through the eyes of John in a different way. Not the way men have written about them, but through the eyes of Spirit. We know the first one is going to be this white horse. Now this is what you must learn right at the outset, that all of the four horsemen are you. There's not a word said about the four horsemen that does not concern you. You are the four horsemen, and you will see why. Not about famine on the earth. It's not about war. It's not about pestilence. And it's not about a man on a white horse. It's about you. And it wasn't something that John figured out. He wasn't a playwright. He was at that level that saw the same vision that had been seen before by others. Much that you hear and read in the Revelation of John occurs at a certain level of consciousness, and so Zechariah saw things that John saw, Daniel saw some, Ezekiel saw some, and they represent the assurance to you that there is a place in consciousness where you too will see the four horsemen, the visions, the lamb, the golden halo, the throne, These are symbols not of the earth, but of the soul. Let's look at them. And I saw, when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." Now it's the Lamb, the Christ, that's opening the seals. This represents your awareness of Christ in you beginning to open a seal, a barrier, to your realization of the perfect harmony of God's presence. And as the Christ in you opens the seal, the angel says, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow. And a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Think back a moment when truth first came to you in a strong way. That's when you got onto your white horse. You had truth. You had the crown of victory going for you. You had the bow. And you had a target and you couldn't miss. You were exalted beyond the power of your imagination. You were Lady Guinevere or King or Galahad himself, dashing off into the horizon because you had the new truth, the awareness of a certain power within you. And this is what happens to everyone at this point. When truth first enters in and lifts us out of the prison of a human mind. What a glorious feeling it is. And as he previously said, we have the feeling that we shall reign and be kings of the earth and priests of the Father. And this is how we feel at this point. For we have seen that a man walked the earth and did miracles. And he said, "Come, you can do likewise. Even greater works shall ye do." And our heart responds. We're riding off into the sunset on a white horse. This is every person who begins to love the Bible, wants to go out and be a missionary, wants to spread the word, the good news. For now you think you have the key, and it's only the first seal. Then lo and behold, right outside of you, from within you, you find another horse emerging. And you don't want to, but you're going to change horses. You're going to come right out of that white horse and you're going to ride now on a red one. And then you're going to ride on another horse. You're going to ride on a black one. And then a fourth one, a pale one, a gray one. You started out on a white horse of truth with a bow, ready to hit any target, a bullseye, a perfect bullseye. You had the crown of victory. What happened? On the red horse, there's another rider. War. On the black horse, there's another rider. Famine. On the pale horse, there's another rider. Death. You, on the white horse, against your own will, with no purpose in mind, you were lifted right off of it and you found yourself riding a red one. Again, you were lifted off of it and found yourself riding a black one. And then, a pale one. Why can't we stay on the white one? That's the great secret that is happening here. The war is only the war that takes place within you. The famine is only the famine within you. The death is only the death within you. Each of us has a war going on, a turmoil, an inner unrest. The rider on the red horse, the war, is the unrest within you. And this takes place because of the nature of human emotions. The rider on the black horse is your intellect, your sense of reason and logic, your five sense world. It is black because it is not in the light. It is not in the Christ, which is the light. And the rider on the pale horse is your belief in matter, your consciousness of body, of form. And so you find that although you have been given the word and have accepted it, believe in it, and worship God, and move out on your white horse, a power unknown to you moves through you, and it is the world mind, and it takes you right off your white horse into a bed of emotions. Emotions you'd rather not have, like envy and jealousy and hate and fear and resentment. This is your red horse. You don't want to ride the red horse, but you're provoked. Things happen. And in spite of the word, you leave the white horse of purity, and now you're in a state of reaction. Nothing you can do about it at the moment, because you're not aware it has happened. It is the world mind functioning through and as your mind. The second horse you see, the red horse, is the beginning of the revelation of the hypnotism of the carnal mind, which moves you right out of the truth you thought you were riding, and now you're riding the untruth. You're riding on the belief that there's something out there that deserves your indignation, your anger, your jealousy, your resentment. Something out there you don't like. Something out there you must condemn. Oh, but God is light, and in Him is dark, no darkness at all. That's forgotten. That was true on the white horse, but not right now. There's an exception out there. Somebody out there that I don't like. And so you're now on your red horse. That's not bad enough. Along comes a wave of world thought. You're not even on a red horse anymore. Now you're in the cold logic of your reason and your intellect. You're on the black horse, and it's just the opposite of the white. Whereas you started out with a pure light of truth, now you are reasoning your way. You're in a five-sense material consciousness. You're in the opposite of the light. You have been fooled by the appearance called matter, form. Your intellect is what you're riding on now. You're riding on the belief that with your mind you can figure it all out. With your mind, you can come through this problem. With your mind, you can solve anything. And the fourth horse, the pale horse, the gray horse, is even harder to overcome. For that is your acceptance of the physical world. You start out with the idea of following the message of Jesus Christ, but the world mind comes to you as beliefs which come as horses. The red horse of emotion, the black horse of intellect, the pale horse of the belief in matter. All three denials of the fact that God is all, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And these are your four horsemen. Which do you ride? It was at this place that a fifth horseman appeared. It was at this place that Jesus Christ moves forward through your being that the Christ of your being reveals a new you, a new self, a new identity. The white horse is eventually going to overcome the other three as your spiritual identity. But first you must go through the acts of purification. You must overcome the red horse, the emotions. You must overcome the black horse, the intellect, the human mind, the five sense beliefs. You must overcome the pale horse, the belief in matter. And these three purifications of the three horses are the first part of the statement by Jesus Christ, you must be reborn of the water. You must be purified of every belief in you that denies that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. You must be purified of every belief that says God is not all. And then you're ready for the fifth seal. Not before. I think that's where we'll pause a moment. And let's mentally review in quiet just where we stand. You are the Christ, but the false world consciousness forces you to react emotionally, intellectually, and physically. Whereas the Christ says, put up thy sword, resist not evil, agree with thine adversary. I am the way, not by might, not by power, not by mental might, not by physical might, not by mental power, not by physical power, but by my spirit, saith the Christ. And your purification then is to rely on the invisible Christ of being, to know the allness of the Father where the appearances seem to be, to take every form of emotional reaction you have and to look at it as a denial of the all presence of the Spirit of God. Our fidelity is to Christ, not to my emotions. That's where I deny myself. Not to my intellect. That's where I deny myself. Not to my physical requirements. That's where I deny myself. And what are some of these emotional, intellectual, and physical requirements? Physically, the world has taken to drugs, hasn't it? False appetites, alcohol. You can't ride the white horse that way. Emotionally, we have our ambition. And you know, if not for a physical consciousness, what would you ever fear? Fear is born of the fact that you think someone can destroy or hurt that which you entertain in your physical consciousness, which itself is a denial of spiritual identity. So while you're riding either of the red, the black, or the pale horse, you are building your own barriers to the pure Christ message, preventing yourself from moving up to the throne of the Father to receive from the power of His will the perfect truth of your own self and the universe around you. The infallible plan of creation says when you have purified yourself and died daily, sufficiently, to those three horses, then you will discover that you are lifted out of inner turmoil, of inner starvation of spirit. You are lifted out of those qualities unlike God. You break the law of karma. You are released. Now, just as you have inner unrest, and others do, this inner turmoil becomes the outer war that the world experiences. Just as we are bankrupt spiritually and starving our own souls, this inner starvation becomes the famine that the world experiences outside. Just as we are dead to Christ within, so this inner deadness becomes the actual outer death. War, famine, and death. Death due to violence, death due to lack, and death due to death itself are all a part of the inner consciousness of man externalized. It doesn't appear out there until it's in us first. And when it is not in us, when you are at peace within, Christ's peace, my peace, when you are in the soul instead of the mind, when the fullness of the Father's spiritual fruitage is honoring you, blessing you, glorifying you as His Son, then the absence of the qualities of war within you, starvation within you, death within you, can no longer externalize for you as war, famine, and death, because all that can ever externalize for you is your own consciousness. If it is purified, it will externalize as the fruitage of spirit. You will find you are truly in the fourth dimension. To go to the fifth, sixth, and seventh seals, you must see that you must take yourself to task and analyze the degree to which you have been obedient to the commandment. Acknowledge me, the Christ, within you, in all thy ways. You may think you've done that, and you probably have done that to this extent. You've done it for you. Alas, you cannot do it for you. You must acknowledge Christ in all. And you cannot be resentful to Christ. You cannot envy Christ. You cannot be indignant to Christ or vengeful to Christ. Do you see how your emotions fool you, raising you into a resistance to what? To Christ. The very quality in you which alone can unlock the secrets of life. So your obedience to Christ in you is the banishment of all emotional unrest, of all false belief that I, through my human mind, can mount into heaven. And of the belief that besides spirit there is something else. There isn't. There is only my spirit. The allness of spirit is the great revelation, the perfect demonstration of Christ Jesus. And as these are finally accepted to a great degree within you, you find the Lamb in you rising to open that fifth seal. We're going to pause now and return in a few moments. There'll be about a 5-minute intermission.